Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the radio show with Cindy Sharp.
Cindy Sharp.
You know the girl. She's all heart.
So full of heart.
She got your back.
Yeah.
Helping you to let go of the lack.
Let go of that lack.
Yeah. That's what sharpening your spirit radio is for. Okay, sharpening your spirit radio is here to say, ensure your pup and heal others starting today. It's your home. Sharpening your spirit radio is here to say, accept yourself and heal others starting today.
Okay.
Sharpening your spirit radio is here to say, accept yourself and heal others starting today. Loving you is all you have to do. Major changes coming about, no worries to think about. Just stand up and shout, be ready for the new you to show. If you follow your heart, it will lead you to what you need to know. Nothing to worry about, nothing to do. Just refill all the love, be open to your range. Be the who, be the change. Heal the world, let the inner healer out. Today is the day to stand, stand up and shout. Heal the world and let the inner healer
out.
Today is the day.
Welcome in to the Sharpening Your Spirit radio show. This is your host and your coach, Cindy Sharp. Thank you for coming in on this beautiful, loving, and gorgeous Sunday morning. And you know, if you've been tuning in for a while, you know that we do a couple of different shows here on the Sharpening Your Spirit radio show. One is 15 minutes to thrive, to keep your spiritual business alive, that I do once a week, where I give you some quick, fast, loving ideas to lift up your business and create it to move forward in the flow so you can heal more people and get your message out to more people. And then we have a very special segment that each week thrills my heart and shares love with many, and it's called The Messengers. And that is what you've tuned in for today. And today we have a very special lady coming on the show that is going to share with you some different, unique, heartfelt, and loving energy around the struggle that children and teens and their parents go through when they've been bullied, and to heal the world of this stress around this particular subject so we can change the language around bullying and so many teens will not lose their lives. Because as you may know, bullying leads a lot of times to suicide, which is a very, very deep and very important subject to talk about. And if any messenger is going to share a message of hope, healing, and love in regards to this, it would certainly be our guest today. Her name is Andy Castina, and she's passionately dedicated to healing and changing the lives of teens and their parents by bringing a fresh new story to bullying. Having written her book, Fat Girl and the Sankara Parasite, which has been called the Bullying Manifesto. At one point in her life, she woke up to the divine art of writing, and she's written 20 books. She was called to share this special story as she became deeply concerned by the challenge of bullying and the sad numbers of teen suicide. Her book tells a story that is healing, rare, and will bring a new loving discussion to this important subject. And as we all know, this is a very, very important subject. So with no further ado, I'd like to invite Andy on and have her share not only about this book, but let us talk about this subject and what healing this book is doing for others. So one second here. We got her right here. Hi, Andy. How are you this morning?
Oh, hi. Good morning, Cindy. I'm great today. It's a lovely day.
It's an absolutely beautiful day, and we're so blessed to have such an important subject here on the Sharpening Your Spirit radio show. We feel very blessed that we were able to get you to come on and share your gift of this book that you have that's going to help so many people. You know, and like I said in the introduction, not only children, but their parents and teenagers. And so share a little bit about, you know, why you think this is such an important subject and why you think bullying exists in schools.
Well, I'd just like to say that I also feel blessed myself for the opportunity to come on your show. You spread a wonderful message, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Cindy, the problem about bullying, it's no longer something that people don't really know about. It's very definitive today. It's almost like a social science. We can identify the different types of bullying. We can also identify the reasons why teens, children bully. I'd like to mention about the actual consequences of bullying. And I think many of your listeners will know somebody who's been bullied, will have been bullied themselves, will have a grandchild, a sister, a brother, a daughter, a son who's been bullied or who knows somebody who's been bullied. So it affects all of us in society. The problem is, as you did mention, the top of the iceberg is suicide. And it's a terrible, terrible thing for a young person to lose their life, and especially to lose their life when it just wasn't necessary, if only adults, grown-ups would have stood in and addressed the situation. The other thing that we have to look at is that it also leads sometimes to this terrible new phenomena of mass shootings. You know, you look at these shootings in schools, and invariably the young people who are responsible have been bullied. On top of that, we have eating disorders, we have isolation, ostracization, we have post-traumatic syndrome. A lot of the young people who've been bullied suffer post-traumatic stress. So there's a whole myriad of very kind of ugly consequences.
You know, let me just share that. It's very interesting that you say what you've just said, because a lot of that, you know, I didn't put together myself when I think about this subject. You know, I really think about bullying as being this kind of one-on-one thing that happens between, you know, kids at a certain age. And it didn't dawn on me the ripple effect. I mean, it's like that, you know, if you envision, you know, dropping a stone in water and all the little ripples that come off of it, the ripple effect that happens just by this one, two, or three, or however many times somebody is bullied, this one instance, meaning the bullying in a general. So thank you for bringing that out, because I think that's very, very important. And, you know, we have a society that I feel, you know, is doing our best to approach this subject, but it feels like, you know, in regards to our children, that we're really dropping the ball and we're really not bringing this forward in the best way. What would you say about that?
Well, I'm right there with you, Cindy. We are trying to do something. I think the problem is, if you look back towards the last Great War, the Second World War, we've got, 75 years, and bullying is still as insidious as it ever was, if not worse. I think we have the will to do something, but the most powerful influence on this planet are people when we stand together. Now, I think we just lack the actual structure, the framework of how to address the situation in a structural manner and an effective manner.
Isn't that interesting? And so what do you mean by that framework?
Well, bullying is bad. That just won't cut it. A lot of school teachers, administrators, some of them say, oh, well, kids will be kids. Well, kids will be kids, but it does not give them a right to injure and mar other children. So that is also not a good attitude towards bullying. A real framework would be from a very early age, as early as possible, is to try to instill in the children, no, bullying is wrong. And invariably, bullying is like a bully is usually, they feel kind of inadequate in themselves. I'm not saying that you know, we used to have the old kind of references, oh, well, bullies come from a bad childhood, or, you know, bullies are neglected. Some are, but some are not. But usually what they have in common is they feel inadequate themselves, so they kind of act out. But if teachers from the get-go, whenever they see any kind of bullying, passive-aggressive or aggressive physical, they have to nip it in the bud. Now, if teachers took that on board, that they'd kind of make a precedent, they'd make a framework. Bullying really is bad and it's not tolerated. We also have to instill in the people, bullies always have an audience. They always have an audience. So the bystanders to bullying, we have to also instill in them. Instead of silently condoning the bullying, please, for heaven's sake, stand up and protect your fellow students. Bullying is bad.
Absolutely. And this should be, as far as I'm concerned, kind of a learning structure that we have, you know, built into our schools. And it seems to me, you know, there are things that do happen. There are talks about this and so on and so forth. But it seems to me that it should be kind of built into a regular curriculum, I would call it. And as well, you know, if it really comes from, you know, a kid or a child or a person that is not feeling good about themselves, it would certainly be important to have some curriculum in our schools. We work so hard on making sure people can write and do arithmetic and, you know, those things, that to have some curriculum around self-esteem.
I think that is really, that would work so tremendously. And not only that, Cindy, people take self-esteem with them. It travels with them wherever they go. They leave school, they might not necessarily be able to add up very well or be a mathematician, but if they have self-esteem, they can be a valuable member of society. So I like what you suggest there. That's very, very valuable.
Absolutely. And I think that it starts with their parents and, you know, how they're raised and their parents learning self-esteem themselves and sharing that with their children, and then us empowering the schools to have this as part of their curriculum. Just a thought process. What do you think really is, you know, the biggest thing that we can do as a society to put an end to bullying? Would it be what we're talking about now, or is there something more?
Well, no, I think basically what we're talking about right now, I mean, I would suggest something like an anti-bullying society, if we need to label it anything, because we are talking about actual human rights, and young people have the right to go to school unaccosted. I mean, it's a basic human right. So I guess some kind of a framework would really work. I mean, at this kind of the instigation of it, yes, I would call it an anti-bullying society or an anti-bullying protocol, so that it can be a recognizable, although intangible, thing that comes into play. Once you go into school, the protocol is in effect. And we have zero tolerance. And within half a decade, they could stamp out a lot of bullying, you know, probably 70-80% of it. if they enforce the protocol.
Absolutely. And this is such an important subject, as I talked about earlier, and such a heartfelt subject and such a personal subject, especially to parents that have children that have been bullied. And if you are going to give them some kind of a support or help, what would be your idea to help a teen get out of a bullying situation?
Right. Thanks for asking that. It's a good question. And although the answer is quite simple, because of a child's understanding of the awareness of the situation of themselves, of what's around them, and the way they process thoughts, it's kind of a little bit more complicated to impress upon a child or a young person. And basically, just say no really does kind of fit the bill. However, it's not as easy as that. Like a child, really, I would instruct a child to make a fuss. If they were being bullied, whether it's physical or mental, I would say no. You have to say no. One of the things is you will never, ever find a bully trying to bully somebody that can stand up for themselves. It doesn't happen. They only bully people they feel are vulnerable or weaker than them. Now, in my book, the character, she's a very weak girl, and she allows it to happen, involuntary, but she allows it to happen. Now, eventually, throughout the book, after she learns a few tactics, she starts to say no. And at first, the bullies kind of bully her even more, but she continues to say no in a very, very firm manner and even shouts it. And suddenly the bullies think, oh, hold on a minute. She's not allowing us to bully her. What's happening? And basically they can't continue to bully you if you really kind of put your feet down and say no. However, to tell a young kid to do this who's really being bullied, they feel so powerless. It's not as easy as it seems.
Right, but what a different perspective, because, you know, I shared this with you because we spoke before the show that I was born with a birth defect. I was bullied as a kid, and when it happens to you, you feel like shrinking. You don't feel like becoming empowered and becoming stronger. Mm. Of course, that would be a normal reaction for, you know, any human that is in a situation that they feel, you know, out of control. And so this thought process that to become empowered, to stand up a little taller, to be able to clearly say no, and to be able to make sure that you are putting the energy and the thought process across to that bully, wait a minute here, you can't bully me, could change the whole situation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I love that. I love that because I don't know that, you know, a lot of times we think of it through that light. I think a lot of times we think of it through, oh gosh, if you get bullied, you know, run to a teacher or run to a friend or run to the principal's office. You know, there's all these different things that we think of, which is a little bit, and when you think of doing that, which believe me, if you feel like you're unsafe, you definitely should go tell somebody. I totally agree that that's an important thing. At the same time, to understand the mind of the bully and understand that a bully is going to choose somebody that they feel they can bully is a very big, important piece. And so this really comes out in the character of your book, which, of course, you wrote this book because you were inspired. Share a little bit about, you know, why you came up with this book and why you were inspired to heal this particular subject.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I'd been recovering from a motorcycle crash, and I was in Thailand, and I had a little bit of free time. I'd been listening to radio stations, and they were all talking about a rash of suicides that was taking place in the United States. And it was so abhorrent to me, you know, and I was so emotionally deeply hurt by it, you know, that a young person could take their own life because they were afraid at school. I mean, it's unbelievable, but it happens. And I just wanted to help because I had a fantastic time at school. I know how good school could be. And I kind of prayed, you know, to really ask what I could do and how I could help, but I was just determined to help. And something happened that has never happened to me before, and I've been writing for a very long time, but the whole story came to me in one go. And it's a very different story. It's a very unusual story, and it turns traditional approach to bullying upside down, and it's a fantasy story. And I really felt that when I thought it through, and I thought, this is absolutely perfect. It's a very simple story, and it follows a girl who's actually contemplating suicide. And it follows her, and it shows how she etches out her life, how she claws back her power, and how in the end of the story, she actually works with the school and works with other people to bring an anti-bullying society together. But one of the main things is, in this episode, is that she recognized, and this is like a very, very important issue, Cindy, and this is why I was saying, although it's a simple approach to just say no, this kind of like layers in there for a child, that like a young person, they don't really address the whole situation. They can't kind of see it, or they can't step back so far enough to see the whole situation. But what happens in this book is she is taught that a bully is not a person to be respected. A bully is not a person who is a hero. And this is the thing, because most young people, they think, oh, the bully, the big bad bully, you know, the big all and powerful. It's like the Wizard of Oz, the big mean wizard, the all and powerful wizard. But you pull back the curtain, there's a little guy there, you know. So this is what had to learn. And young people at school, and even today, the kids, the bully victims today, they cannot step back and see that this person who is bullying them is nobody to be feared. And this is why it is so, so difficult for them to start screaming and shouting and saying, no, no, don't hit me, don't bully me. It's a simple thing to do, but until their thought processes can switch into a mode where they can recognize that the person who is bullying them is not a powerful person, then they're stuck in a mold, and they will continue to allow the bullying to take place. And it's a reluctance allowance, but nevertheless, this is the situation.
Oh, gosh, that's such a fantastic story, and I love how it started with this piece of that this book kind of just came through you. And, you know, here in this particular episode, The Messenger, what a beautiful messenger you are to, you know, shine some light on this subject. So what a wonderful story. That just empowers me immensely. I'm thrilled that you're here sharing this beautiful gift. So your story sounds like something that would, if, you know, not only a parent could read this and get some insight from it, but that really it's geared for what age group?
Well, I said 13 plus, and the reason for this is that it talks about suicide. It talks about this other issue, young people, they cut themselves, you know, with razor blades and things. It's terribly, terribly sad. And I felt personally that this was kind of a subject that, you know, why subject younger people to it? But I'm not a teacher, so I don't know what younger people really should be exposed to. I just didn't think they should be exposed to that at this time. However, for anybody who's been bullied, it would suit them perfectly. And the other thing about the book, though, is that I should point out, it's a fantasy story. And it through it's a great story. And through this story, it teaches the young people to be able to assess the situation, to be able to understand the bully, you know, how they're becoming a bully, and also to be able to empower themselves.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So I know that people can get your book on Amazon, and it's a very unique name for the book, which I said in the introduction, but share the name and why that you named it that, and so people can kind of relate that to, because it's been called The Bullying Manifesto. So, you know,
yes,
that's just an immensely wonderful thing to have a book, you know, people talking about and saying about your book. But share a little bit about the name itself and how that came about.
Well, it's kind of funny, actually, because Fat Girl, it's actually spelled P-H-A-T. And the opening sentence talks about Fat Girl, F-A-T. She didn't think she was fat, and her mother said she wasn't fat. But it's called Fat Girl and the Sankara Parasite. Sankara is an ancient Eastern philosophy, and it means thoughts, like bad thoughts. And parasite is a bad parasite. And that's the bully parasite, which propagates the hatred. But the fat girl, because the book starts off where she's just fat girl. You know, people call her fat girl and they call her this and that. But at the end of the book, it says this is the story of how Fat Girl, F-A-T, became Fat Girl, one of the coolest girls in school. Because fat, in kind of youth teen lingo, means cool, you know, great, cool. Have you heard that term?
You know, I haven't heard that term. I just must not be cool enough.
I had to look it up.
It's just very unique, and I you know, I love the fact that you're using actual lingo that, you know, the teens are going to relate to.
Yes,
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, people can get your book at Amazon.com. What is your real hope for this book?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, the thing is, it's like I say, I had the most amazing time at school. And I just feel that this is what children should be experiencing. No child should be experiencing fear, hatred, hurt at school. No one. And my dream for this book, because as you said, I mean, the way it came to me, I do feel like I don't take much responsibility for writing it. I do feel like it was a gift. And the thing about the book, Cindy, is that it's very successful. People are really, it's helping people. You know, it's helping
young
people. And so my hope for the book, my hope for your listeners as well, is that people will kind of get on the bandwagon, if you like. You know, people will support me to spread the message, because the more people who read this book, like the people who are reading the book are saying, oh my gosh, you know, every school should have one of these books. Every school child should read this book, because this is what's happening now. We have to start somewhere. We have to start to make this framework. We have to force the schools to get some kind of an anti-bullying protocol. Because let's face it, for kids who are bullied, for parents whose children do not get bullied, I mean, they're not really bothered about an anti-school bullying protocol, a school bullying protocol. But also, at the same time, I'm sure those parents don't really want their children to be bullies. And I'm sure they don't want their children to stand by and let other children be bullied. And for the parents of the children who are bullied, I mean, they live in fear, daily fear, you know, because they fear for their loved ones, they fear for the children. So really, it's all our responsibility. It's all our responsibility to get this message out. And really, my real hope is that I can spread the word about the book and I can get people to read the book. I don't care whether they pay for the book or not, because they can get free copies from me. But I really do need to get the word out so that more and more youth.
Absolutely. So people that are listening, you can go to Amazon.com and you can purchase a copy, or you can get directly a copy from Andy. Andy, share how they would get that.
Well, my email, it's
Go ahead. It's info at...
Yes. It's info at the Indy, I-N-D-I-E, Oracle, the Indy Oracle, O-R-A-C-L-E.com. If you want a free copy of the book, shoot me an email and I will send you an email back in return with a copy of the book and with a copy of the book cover, because the book cover is tremendous. And
it is.
So anybody's more than happy to have a free copy. It's not a problem. You can also get paperback copy from Amazon or the wireless copy. So, you know, I just need people to read the book. The more people who read the book, the more the consciousness of doing something about bullying is going to happen. I know people have been doing something about bullying over the last 75 years, but let's face it, it's not really working, is it? You know?
No, no. We definitely need to get a different perspective around this. And I have to tell you, Andy, I could talk to you for hours about this subject, because it is such an important, deep, and loving subject to make a big shift and a big change in our society. Unfortunately, we've run out of time on our show today. But that 30 minutes goes by quickly. So, Andy, I want to thank you very much for coming on today, and I want you to share the name of the book one more time, and then I'll let everybody know where they can get it. How's that?
Thank you so much, Cindy. Thank you so much. The book is called Fat Girl, that's P-H-A-T, Fat Girl and the Sankara Parasite, and it's by Andy Katsina.
That's right. And Andy, I thank you so very, very much for coming on today. People can get this through Amazon. They can also email you at your email. And I'm going to have you repeat that one more time.
Yes. And that's info, that's I-N-F-O, at the, obviously T-H-E, Indy, I-N-D-I-E, Oracle, O-R-A, CLE.com, info at the IndieOracle.com.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for giving our listeners a free copy. That's such a beautiful blessing. And this is a message that I hope you get out to millions, because society does need a healing around this. And you're the perfect messenger to deliver that. So I want to thank you so much for being on my show today. And it's been such a blessing meeting you and your beautiful gift that you have here. So thank you so much for being on the show. Do you have any last words for our listeners?
Actually, yes, I would like to tell your listeners that you, Cindy, are a perfect inspiration. You're a wonderful person. And you're a very, very genuine person. And I'm so, so happy to have met you.
Oh, well, thank you, Andy. What a doll you are. And I hope to stay in touch with you. And to our listeners, it is time to go. So what I'm going to send you off with, as we always do, at Sharpening Your Spirit Radio is if you need some personal help yourself, if you'd like to be on the show, come on over to sharpeningyourspirit.com and contact me. I'd love to support you and help you. As well, we're going to sign off. And, of course, this is your host, Cindy Sharp. And as we always do, it's love, light, and a big kiss. Beautiful Sunday afternoon to everybody. Bye-bye now.